T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Try to be best, 'cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best.
All right, time for our weekly chat with Steelers insider, the great Mark Cabali. Mark, how are you?
Pretty good. I see that Donnie Football might have got a promotion. I don't even get a call from him now.
Mueller took the day off to go play golf.
And we have an intern now, so we get to use him to our advantage.
Yes, he speaks very, very fast. I didn't hear one word he said. I just said, okay.
Do you golf, Mark?
I used to, but, you know, there's been some leg issues over the past couple of years. Plus, it was kind of expensive. Plus, I stink. So,
I think a funny three-man group would be us two and you, Mark.
No, I'd be a – you know what I am? I'm a great scramble guy because I hit one out of every five shots pretty good. So, other than that, I don't know. I might not be able to do it anymore. I'm getting too old for that garbage. Plus, it's too expensive. Plus, I don't have any time. And I'd like to get out there, but you know, I got clubs from 1986, so that doesn't help either.
You got a wooden driver.
I think I do have one somewhere. It's out in my shed. I don't know how people hit with that, but
the Arnold Palmer special.
I think I got it at the flea market in Perryopolis or something back in the day.
Give me the Steeler who made the best impression on Mark Cabali at OTAs this week.
I'm not allowed to say. I could say actually. I mean, who made the best impression is, once again, I think I'm who really hasn't been talked to a lot is I've seen George Pickens take it to a little bit different level where he's very, very confident of himself now, maybe more than what he was last year, even during the season. See him making some plays down the field more than just some of the stuff he was doing last year. So that's a guy that, you know, we're expecting, as in where the media, everybody involved, to take that next step. And you're really not talking a lot about him because some of the other changes on the offensive side of the ball, but I really like what I've seen from him. And, you know, they got some big boys up front. I like that. I like, in general, the depth and the size of some of these defensive linemen they brought in. I think they can play any type of style of football that they want to. Right now, with the different types of defensive linemen, they got the short, stocky ones, the ones can rush the passer. But like I said, I mean, it's just what we're seeing right now. Who knows if that translates into September and October. But right now, I like those couple guys right there.
Mark, piggybacking off that, out of the rookie group, who is one or two of the guys that caught your eye more than the others?
Let me see here. Well, Broderick Jones, I always say that about offensive linemen. You can't see anything from them in OTAs. I mean, they got shorts on and
they're just kind of doing their pass sets.
Yes, it's just stuff like that. You mean nothing really to do with football? I guess technique-wise, yeah. But until you hit somebody across the mouth, you're not going to be able to tell anything about those rookies, so I can't. I have to really eliminate.
But how about
Parker
his body
Jones.
Type, though? Is he taller? Is he?
He's
is
a little
he more
bit
muscular,
smaller than I was expecting.
Okay,
I'll tell you one thing: Dan Moore is bigger than him. Dan Moore is in a lot better shape than he was last year, so he must be taking this a little bit seriously as well. He's not about ready to give up that left tackle spot. Doesn't mean he won't eventually do that. Joey Porter seems like a guy that's just a matter of time that he'll take over that starting position. He looks like the real deal. Darnell Washington, I didn't think he was going to practice as much as he has with, you know, whatever injury it was. It doesn't look like they have an injury, but, you know, he might be a guy that's more impressive in game-type situations too, because he's not really wowing anybody with his speed, his route running, or anything like that. Now, if he hits the sled, he knocks it over. That's what you're expecting from him. So that's another guy that pretty much stood out a little bit during the Washington, but maybe not a superstar right out of the gate type of thing. I think he's a guy who's going to translate more into game time than practice time.
Mark, do you think Washington is going to be used in the passing offense as a receiver?
I think it's going to be a little bit of everything.
Really?
I mean, be honest with you, I think they're going to use every available option they have, and I'm talking about the Calvin Austin, Allen Robinson's, Washington's, Connor Hayward, whoever it is, to be able to create the matchups that they need. Freiermuth, Gentry in the 2-3 tight end sets. I mean, the key is going to be, I think they have the players in place. We don't know about the coaching or the coordinator quite yet. It seems like, you know, maybe he has things figured out a little bit. But I think leading up to games, the game plan room, you know how they used to sit down with Mike Munchak and come up with all these ideas of how they're going to approach teams or how they're going to attack teams on offense. I think that's huge this year, because they have so many different types of ways to attack a team. I mean, you can spread them out. You can get Kenny on the run. You can run power stuff. You can run multiple running back sets. You can run, you know, Austin, Hayward, wherever it is. You can run.
Mark, are you buying
the team, all that type of stuff?
Are you buying that there's all these dimensions and layers to the Matt Canada offense that we haven't seen because Kenny was a rookie last year and Ben was too old before that?
Yeah, I could be. I mean, on paper, I think that it might have always been there. And on paper, it is there again now. But once again, you know, when the bullets start to fly, so to speak, here in September, it doesn't mean he's not going to go back to Old Faithful, you know, hand the ball off left tackle and pound on first down, second and nine, third and eight, and try to get Kenny to somehow convert a third down. I mean, he has to be able to be on his game as well. But I think it's a lot more complex than what we've seen or what we are, you know, some of the experts believe, Steve Smith, of what type of offense that he can put out there. Obviously, it's a pro offense. It is going to be complex. There is going to be different dimensions and layers. But, I mean, once again, until he's been able to prove that, we're not going to know if he can do it.
Mark, how about the role of Allen Robinson? It seems like the younger receivers have already – and Kenny Pickett included, have already talked about the at least locker room type guy that he is, the leadership role that he can play. Because, I mean, you look at that wide receiving group, it's a ton of guys right now, but none of them have been around as long as Allen Robinson. So beyond what he can do on the field, which is maybe limited, do you see him as really the unquestioned leader of that wide receiver group?
I think Deontay might be there right now just because he's been there longer than anybody else. I mean, Allen Robinson obviously knows a lot, and they listen to what he says. You're not going to see much from him on the field here in the summer or in the spring here. I mean, you don't need to see him right now. He'll be out there for a little bit during warm-ups or whatnot, but you want to see what Calvin Austin and some of those other guys can do. But that's what they wanted to do, though. They feel that they need a guy with more knowledge, more veteran leadership than what they had in the past, and that's why They did bring in a guy, you know, was he 29 now, Allen Robinson, who's basically been there and done that with multiple organizations. But Deontay Johnson, he tries. And I give him credit for that. He definitely tries to be the leader, the guy that stands out in front. I don't know how much that actually works, you know, behind the closed doors of being a captain type of guy, a guy who's been around 4 or 5 years, and they're like, okay, Deontay, this is what we're doing. I think Allen Robinson might have a little bit more stroke than that with the guys in the room.
We're talking to Mark Caboli here on 93.7 The Fan. All right, Mark, this is a whole new regime. We've seen Omar Khan operate and do things differently from his predecessor. Do you think that they at least talk about, okay, here's an all-pro wide receiver that just became a free agent today?
I'm never going to say never with Omar now, right? I mean, I'm sure he gave a call to see what the price is, but you still got an elite wide receiver right there that's probably going to be in high demand. And unlike a potential trade where you could dictate salary to them, I'm guessing DeAndre Hopkins is going to get a pretty expensive sign. So I wouldn't have been shocked if they somehow were able to acquire him as a guy who's a, you know, rental player. But if you're looking for him, he's looking for some cash. I just don't think they go down that route right there. Well, how much I would pay him or how much somebody's going to pay him? Somebody's probably going to pay him a ton, right? I mean, you get a good quarterback in there.
How much do you think he'd be worth to the Steelers?
Well, what's Deontay making more than that? I would imagine. Was Deontay at 18?
Yep.
I mean, you'd have to figure he's more than that. You'd have to figure he's a $20 million. It seems like where that's where the elite wide receivers are, what, 20, 21, 22? I'm sure Hopkins is going to get 3 for $60, 4 for $80 somewhere else. Wow. I mean, honestly, he's a superstar who had a very bad offense and a very erratic quarterback over the past couple of years. You put him in a right spot. Imagine throwing him in there with even Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I mean, he's probably going to put a ton of numbers up, or go down to Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville. They got a ton of money. And to be honest with you, you know who has the most money is the Browns. And the Browns are very wide receiver thin. I know they got
Amari Cooper.
They traded for one, and they traded for the guy from the Jets, I believe, right?
Elijah Moore. Yep.
So, I mean, you throw him in there with Deshaun Watson from a couple years ago, and all of a sudden, you know, DeAndre Hopkins putting up big money. I really like him, but I think he's just going to command a lot of money.
Mark, it seems like the Steelers are surrounded by a couple of rumors with the Cardinals. I mean, you guys just threw out the Hopkins one there, but I feel like I see every day, and it's not always coming from the true insiders of the world, but everybody clamoring for Buda Baker or Isaiah Simmons. Is there any smoke to that at all?
Well, you know, you try to put one and one together there. It looks like there's a fire sale in Arizona, right? Then you look at their best players and say, where would the Steelers need people? And obviously you think it would be safety and sort of a roaming linebacker, hybrid linebacker type of guy. I don't think you're going to see many moves, any big time moves moving forward at all. I think when they got Marcus Golden, that pretty much solidified their training camp roster. Now, if somebody gets injured, you can move on and revisit that. But I think they're pretty much set of what they're doing right now. Maybe, I guess, if you're looking for some depth at the inside linebacker position, but I don't think it's going to be anybody, you know, who's going to get your hopes up or anything like that. So I think they're pretty much set of this roster, and let's see what happens during training camp and at the end of training camp, and maybe they have to maneuver something. So I don't think anything to that effect. Buda Baker's probably wants a ton of money too, right?
Yep. Mark,
I mean, when you're paying Alex Highsmith $18 million bucks here, you're not going to have the room for Buda Baker, right?
Yeah, after being around Highsmith and the team this week, what do you think happens? What's your updated take on the Highsmith
negotiation? Well, you know, Highsmith was in the old group chat set, and I grabbed him afterwards. And I'm like, why are you here? I mean, everybody else would be out there practicing like that. And he said, oh, whatever. I just feel like I need the work. And he goes, Well, we'll see. He made it sound like that the hold-in is still an option come training camp here. But I still stick with the whole theory that this is going to get done. It's just a matter of when and how much, to be honest with you. They've made up their mind, and I think Alex Highsmith is a guy that's not going to want to go somewhere else for an extra million. Maybe he gives him a little bit of a break, but you can't wait till next year. If you wait till September 11th, you might as well say goodbye to him, because he earned the right to hit free agency, and that's why they want to sign guys like that before the start of the season, because once you hit free agency, you're pretty much gone, unless you're a wide receiver recently with Juju or whatnot. So I can't see any way that Highsmith is not signed to a long-term deal any time between June 15th and, you know, the start of training camp.
They've only signed two edge rushers to extensions, though, in the Tomlin era. You know, this has not been something they've really Watt and Woodley. One guy was an all-time productive player in the playoffs, and the other guys...
Wasn't Woodley and Harrison in 10 or 11 back-to-back years?
Yeah, I'm talking more guys that like were drafted and developed during Tomlin's time. But sure, I mean, Harrison got an extension, but again, he had also put up gigantic numbers. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at, they made the right decision on Dupree, and they're paying the other guy $30 million on the other side, Mark.
Yeah, we focus a lot on the overall number. I mean, if you're going to give him hypothetically 4 for 60, I don't know, 4 for 65, Omar and the new Omar Colemore are smart enough to be able to put this contract in the way where it could be backloaded, where you can get some of the bigger numbers maybe off the board. Who knows if Cam Hayward's going to be there in 2 years? I think his contract's up at 24. Maybe they sign him year to year. What I'm saying is, by the time you get to paying him a ton of money, you can either extend him again or, you know, you have more free money. So I don't just look at it as, wow, look at this money, we can go buy something else with it, because that first and second year is probably not going to be a ton of money if they don't want it to be a ton of money while they structure the contract. So I wouldn't quite worry about money when it comes to that, or cap hits or anything to that fact. I just like the fact that, you know, I've heard you guys talk about Highsmith and with and without TJ Watt. That's a, you know, that's like a cat chasing his tail there, man. I'll be honest with you. If TJ's in there and Highsmith gets 15 sacks, it's because TJ's in there. If TJ's not in there and Highsmith doesn't get any sacks, it's because he's not in there. You know what I'm saying? You can make the argument both ways to fit your narrative. So I'm not worried about that. If TJ Watt's part of his $28 million is to provide Alex Smith opportunities for 15 sacks, so be it.
Mark, who's closer to being right about Mike Tomlin? Ross Tucker has him third among NFL coaches. I don't have him in the top 10.
I need criteria, man. I mean, what are we talking about here? What are the parameters?
What are they right now?
Right now at this moment?
Yep.
Well, I would probably say, you know, lower end of the top 10. But then do you even put Bill Belichick in there?
Because
he had some terrible last 3 years, right? Do you put Sean McVay in there that sold the soul to the devil to win, you know, a dozen games 3 years in a row? And he was almost out the door because he knew he was going to stink so bad here in the future. So unless you have set parameters of what you're going for as a coach, it's almost impossible to rank these guys. I mean, for Pete Carroll alone, I wouldn't put him in the top 20 just because he was single-handedly lost a Super Bowl for him, you know, the Marshawn Lynch play, right?
Mark, so, he also got them to that Super Bowl and blew out the Broncos the year before with that defense where Manning scored 8 points. They were the highest-scoring team in the league.
You give me,
and they got Geno Smith to the friggin' playoffs last year. Revitalize that guy's career.
Hey, you give me the parameters, say the last 5 years, the last 10 years overall, then I think I can critique anybody's list.
I'm just asking you how you view him right now with Tomlin. How you view him right at the moment.
Right now at the moment, once again, this is one coach's very not many coaches have went through not one, but in the midst or almost through two rebuilds. That's what he's had to do here, you know, the early 2010s and now this year. Yeah, I think you have to take that into account. Who I would put it this way, who would you take over him if you're going to hire somebody? Say Tomlin quits and you can hire anybody. I mean, the Andy Reid's of the world, absolutely. The Shanahan's of the world. But I'm thinking maybe 7 or 8. I'm not throwing Doug Peterson in there. I'm not throwing Nick Sirianni in there just for the fact that it's been such a small sample size. I'm not throwing Sean McVay in there because he wanted to leave once times got rough and they weren't trading for number one picks all over the place. So I would say between the 5 and 10 range right now. But right. Obviously you're riled up about that.
Yes, you have me pegged correctly. And Donnie's going to unveil his own list tonight, Mark, when he's hosting solo on the
thing. You know, what I've learned about Donnie is he's not very good at making lists. The last list he made was like, what was it, the Adam Sandler movie one?
Oh, that yeah, you thought Little Nicky was number one.
Not thought, no. Oh, absolutely stunning cast in Little Nicky. We got Harvey Keitel and Dan Marino in the
IMDb and it had forget the guy it. With boobs on his head, Mark.
Kevin Nealon, right?
Yes.
Legendary movie.
All right, Mark, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
You guys too.
There you go. Text us on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line. Follow us on Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Man, McVay getting buried for something he didn't even do. Mark saying he wanted to leave. Yeah, but he didn't. That's like if you said, you know, I thought about leaving you guys and taking another job as a producer, but I decided to stay here. Now what, am I going to take it out on you? You stood by us. You stayed loyal to us. That's what he did. They had a crappy-ass year there, but the year before, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and things really bottomed out because, I mean, they were playing guys at quarterback at the end of the year who were, like, listed as receivers.
They were starting guys at quarterback who couldn't even get a job at Steelers rookie camp.
Yeah,
last
Bryce
week.
Perkins.
Bryce Perkins, yeah. So, I'm buying Rams stock. Someone asked earlier about bets I'd make. I'd take them to win more than 6 games.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This year. All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, PM Team Power Rankings. Donnie is going to rank the top 5 Pirates pitchers of the Andrew McCutchen era, with Mitch Keller set to make another start tonight. Is Mitch Keller going to make it into Donnie's top 5? Intern Dom is going to rank the top 5 Memorial Day cookout foods. What a challenge. What an absolute struggle that is going to be to pin it down to 5. And I've got the top 5 Memorial Day cookout drinks. Donnie, do you look forward to the food or the drinks at a cookout more?
Food. Absolutely the food. I mean, you know how I am. I went on my awakening.
Yeah, but most guys in their 20s like the cookouts to get after it from a drinking standpoint.
Yeah, but
more in the
Well, I mean, yeah, I love to get after it in that aspect, but I mean, I love the variety of food. I mean, you have however many different meats as like your main courses. You got your hot dogs, your burgers, you got all the barbecue stuff, chicken, ribs, pulled pork, maybe a brisket mixed in there. You got some really good sides that you can throw around, mac and cheese. Pasta salad is a personal favorite of mine. You can go with coleslaw. And then, you know, you have like apple pie or blueberry pie.
Dom has really got his work cut out for him.
I don't want to throw him under the bus yet. We can wait till we get to the segment. But his question in the back was a little bit concerning to me that he threw out to us.
When he said, can I just put barbecue number one?
Yeah, I think that's just either barbecue. A cop-out or just way too vague.
You know, just barbecue.
But I have confidence he can put something together. But I was a little bit worried by that question.
So, update, a couple of things here. Update on the Penguins GM search. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet says that the Penguins are giving Kyle Dubas the weekend to think about the GM job. My experience is, personal experience, if you need that long to think about something, the answer is probably going to be no. You know what I'll compare it to? It's like replay in sports. If it's that close and you really can't come up with a decision, is the original call right? Do we need to change it? When you agonize over it for that long, you usually just go with what you had. I think if Dubas is really that much in deep thought over this, this is not going to be his last opportunity to be a GM. He'll be in demand again next year. He's only in his late 30s. Maybe the Edmonton job comes open next year. If he's really unsure right now after visiting and meeting with the team about what he's going to do, then I don't think he's going to take the job. But that's me drawing an inference from reporting. I thought when he came here and met with Sidney Crosby and everybody else, Donnie, that it was a done deal. If you, not that he's traveling from Toronto to Guam, but the fact that you were interested enough to come see the facility for yourself and then you sit down with Crosby, man, Sidney Crosby can't talk you into this being the right place for you. Come work with me, one of the greatest hockey players of all time. I still have a lot left in the tank. I'm going to try to recruit you. I would think if you're a general manager, man, one of the great players of all time thinks that I'm the missing piece. I want to help this guy out and see if I can get him a fourth Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that leaves the concern for me that he either has other teams just beating down his door and has offers left and right, or right now he's not convinced that he wants to be here.
He heard the Sidney Crosby sales pitch and his conclusion was, let me get back to you. And the Penguins said, all right, Kyle, we'll give you the weekend to think about it. I don't think that that's a good sign. But I will say, again, that I had someone tell me that barring a snag or a change of heart, that Dubas is going to take the job. So I don't know what the weekend, if he's going to take it, I would think he would have said yes by now, and they're just working on the details of the contract and everything else. But when Elliot Friedman says he needs the weekend, that would be like Schefter getting something wrong. How often does that happen? Where he tweets
almost
out.
Never.
Yeah, where he tweets out. I mean, he's probably getting it right from the horse's mouth. He's based in Toronto. That's where Dubas is right now. So I had someone tell me this morning it's pretty much a done deal. But then when I saw this Friedman thing, I'm like, well, maybe there is more than meets the eye. At least maybe people from the Penguins side thought that Dubas was all in, but maybe he went back to Toronto and now talking to his family and stuff, he's his agent starting to have second thoughts. Here is Alex Highsmith on Cook and Joe today, asked about his contract situation with the team. If I put my volume up on my computer, we could actually listen to this. I'm already in weekend mode.
I'm optimistic. Don't know where it's all at right now. Optimistic, and I want to be in Pittsburgh. I want to be here. So I really hope something works out because I love playing here. I love playing for this defense. I love the guys that I play with. I love the coaches I play for. So, yeah, I want to be here for a long time.
Did Cabali's pitch on Highsmith convince you that it's the right call to keep him, to give him an extension? Did the Mark reasoning work on you?
No. I mean, I do. I mean, I would love if they kept the guy, but I think it would have to be, at least right now, a lower price for me. I mean, and that's something I'll obviously hit on later around 6, but you hit a lot on it
yesterday. When you start your solo show at 6.
You hit on it yesterday. He would be really the first guy that comes to mind that they jump on this soon with the extension. Now, I mean, even T.J. Watt had to wait 4 years, and T.J. Watt put together 3 10-plus sack seasons in that time. Lamar Woodley had to wait 4 years, and his numbers were better than what Alex Highsmith has done to this point. And you even factor in what Woodley did in the playoffs, especially in 2008. He was a monster. The guy averaged 2 sacks a game in that playoff run, and he had the sack that basically ended Super Bowl 43.
Yep.
So I know that's me just pointing out those two guys, but I mean, it's a pretty big thing to point out there that I would at least wait a little bit. And I have the, you know, maybe it's in the minority of thinking, but I wouldn't mind if he put together another year like he just had, maybe even better. And then, okay, you got to pay the guy more. They'll make it work. Cabali was talking all about, you know, Omar Khan, the con artist, the con man. You know, you'll see the videos of him from The Wire with his face
on
Omar.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
Omar,
you're
coming.
Right.
They'll make it work. I mean, if you have to go from, I don't know, if you want to offer him like $15 million now over 4 years, like Mark suggested, what, 4 years for $60 million? I would almost rather see him do it again and then have to pay 4 years $80 million because now I know what we got here.
I would have to feel differently about the way that he did it, though, to still give him the money. You know, I still think that he benefits from who he plays with. And so if he put up numbers, I would still feel that way and think, I don't have to pay a lot of money for someone to do that job. You know, and to your point, if they can get creative with the money now, why wouldn't they be able to get creative with the money next year? It's not like they're going to pay Pickett between now and next season. So I'm just of the belief that Highsmith is a nice player. He's a good player, but he's not someone that I prioritize to pay, because I don't put a lot of stock in that position when the other guy is so good. If T.J. Watt didn't exist and you had Marcus Golden as your other edge rusher and those are your two guys, I probably would pay Highsmith, Donnie. But I look at, if they can't get it done between Herbig or going into free agency and signing someone else next year, I think you'd be able to get about the same production. All right, coming up next, these PM Team Power Rankings. You've got Memorial. You've got the pitchers from the McCutcheon era. I've got Memorial Day cookout drinks. Are they going to be all boozy drinks? What's going to get in there? What if I just came out with water right out of the box? Nothing like a nice bottled water to get you going at a cookout.
Room temperature, too, on a nice hot day.
Those little tiny bottles of water, the baby ones. And Dom's got Memorial Day cookout food. All right, it is time for Pony and Muller Power Rankings, brought to you by the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. Good time to review your auto and home insurance with Buell. So no doubt you've got Memorial Day weekend plans. Maybe you're headed somewhere, probably took today off from work, living the high life, start of the summer. So we've got Memorial Day rankings here. Top 5 cookout foods, top 5 cookout drinks. And the bonus power ranking is going to be Donnie ranking the top 5 pitchers of the McCutcheon era. So the McCutcheon era started in 2009. That was his debut. And so we're not going to make you leave out the years where he left. It's just from 2009 on, And you're allowed to rank relief pitchers too.
Yeah, which is big. And I don't think I'll have an issue with the years that he was gone because all of these guys were on McCutchen teams. Okay. It's not like they played a half season with him or anything like that.
Did you get invited to Doran's Memorial Day party?
I did not. But really? I don't always. I'm not one that like takes offense to stuff like that. I know that I'm gonna make a little bit of a drastic comparison here, but like it's something with weddings that I'll notice, and I'm obviously hitting that age where it's like prime time wedding season.
What would that be? The late 20s?
Yeah, I would say mid to late 20s.
You're gonna have a solid 5-year run of weddings starting
now. You know, if it's somebody...
The wedding chapter of your life. That's a great way of putting it. The wedding phase.
Yeah, like, I never want to be that guy that is...
Can you believe that Joe Smeltzer didn't invite me to his wedding? A goon.
Unless it is a truly, truly good friend, and I'm not saying Doran's not a friend, but, you know, he's not a guy that, like, I talk to all day, every day. If it's one of those guys, I don't get an invite.
But here's the reason...
I'm thinking, all right, man, that's a little bit messed up. But if it's a guy that... You know, I'm work friends with or like a friend that I occasionally keep in touch with.
Right. But the only thing about this is apparently he's been inviting people from work. He's trying to turn it into his own colony, 4th of July party, where he takes the bull by the horns and now wants to start a traditional Memorial Day party.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, but if he's going to make it about coworkers, you should be on that list. I understand why Kale wouldn't get an invite. They're arch rivals. But
well,
me,
I mean, I'll
you,
just hope
Malzi,
for one next year, but...
Crowley's obviously going. Mike DeFabo got an invite and is going. Harry Callis.
Oh, I need to see the box score on Callis when that party's over.
I mean, if Callis is getting an invite, you should make that
Callis
cut,
has done
man.
A lot of good work for those guys.
Cook's going to get got an invite to it. What did Cook ever do for Doran? Starkey got an invite. Doran accused Starkey of cheating on the golf course, and yet they somehow have been able to patch things up. I'm just bewildered that you did not get included in this.
I won't hold it against him. I got plans anyway.
All right, so let's go with you. Top five Pirates pitchers of the McCutchen era.
Okay, so number five, we do start with a reliever. So I'm happy that you allowed me.
Clear that up for everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
Tony Watson is number five for me. Took a couple of years for Tony to really get into things. Age 26, 27 season, he was all right, just kind of a guy out of the bullpen. But then he was firmly entrenched in that shark tank in the playoff era. And you'll hear a lot of those playoff era guys on this list. In fact, I'll put that spoiler out there. Most of this list is of that 13 to 15 range, guys that were on those teams. So Tony Watson, he was a stellar setup guy. He oddly wasn't great as a closer, but I'm going to credit him enough with how good he was as a setup guy to even put him at number five on this list. I mean, a 2.39 ERA in the 13 season, 1.63 in 78 games in 2014.
I have no problem with this choice. I support him making the list.
1.91 ERA in 2015, another playoff team that year. That was his age 30 season. He became the closer after that. ERA went above 3. It wasn't awful by any means. He put together seasons where he had 15 and 10 saves. So even whenever it seemed to go downhill for Tony Watson, it wasn't bad.
Okay, so Watson 5. Next.
Frankie Liriano, number 4. Liriano entered that 2013 season, and he was great. 16-8, 3.02 ERA, 26 starts, 2 complete games. He threw over 160 innings, and he's the guy that people will always remember that he won a Pirates playoff game. He was the first pitcher in over 20 years to win a Pirates playoff game. Now, some people would say, oh, you shouldn't count the wild card as a playoff game.
Well, F those people.
We will, because it was considered a playoff game
the most historic
by MLB
nights
standards.
In Pirates history, yeah.
And Liriano was phenomenal in that game. He got the win there, so he's number 4 for me. Number 3, our guy AJ Burnett, one of the all-time badasses in recent Pirates history. I really thought about putting him higher on this list, but I'll keep him at three. You don't seem to like this.
No, I'm trying to think of who two and one are going to be. Now. I know at least one other name.
But Burnett hit a career renaissance here. He was pushed out of New York after multiple seasons with the ERA over five. He comes to Pittsburgh, 35, 36, and age 38 seasons. He was pretty damn good, and he was without question the leader of that pitching staff because those guys copped that attitude from him. Really the don't give a you-know-what attitude, and it stuck. I mean, 3.5 ERA in 2012, 3.3 in 2013. He spends the 2014 year in Philly where, again, he was bad, and he comes back to Pittsburgh, has an all-star season at age 38.
His first all-star season.
That alone, I almost put him at number two.
So who's two then?
On the list for that. I went with Gerrit Cole at number two. He came up in 2013. I was at his debut in person. Still to this day, one of the coolest Pirate game experiences I've ever had. And he was good right out of the gate. I mean, even as a rookie, he went 10-7, 3.22 ERA in 19 starts.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that playoff team, and I know there was a little scuttlebutt in that series against the Cardinals. Who should have gotten that start in Game 5 because Cole performed in his playoff start. AJ did not.
Yep.
And the Pirates were eliminated in five games by St. Louis. An all right year for Cole in 2014. Again, he was on that roster that got the Pirates to the playoffs again. 2015, his best season.
19 wins.
2.6 ERA, 19 wins. He was an all-star, 32 starts. That's whenever he truly became the ace of that staff.
So who's one then? Who's one on this list? I thought Cole was going to be one. Who gets the number one pitcher of the McCutchen era from Donnie Football?
Mark the Shark.
Wow.
You want to talk about shutdown relievers that pitched for the Pirates at important moments.
Ooh, doggy.
You go no further. A three-time All-Star with the Buccos in 4 years, and he was good in all 4 years. 2013, setup guy for Jason Grilley. He still picked up 16 saves. 1.39 ERA in 72 games. 2014, 1.9 ERA in 72 games, 33 saves. 2015, 30-year-old season, 2.23 ERA, league-leading 51 saves for Mark the Shark. 2016, he played, about half the year here?
Before he got traded.
45 games, 1.51 ERA in 30 saves. That man was as much of a sure thing as you could get that the Pirates have in a long, long time. And I know what you're going to say. He's a reliever. He can't be number one. Well, you tell that to the MLB Hall of Fame because they got a damn closer that is labeled as the greatest player of all time.
Because he got every
vote. Who got 100% of the vote.
Yep. All right. Not how I would have done it, but you defended your choice as well. I don't think Dom is going to have as much success here with the top five Memorial Day foods.
I'm confident.
The last time we asked you to chime in on a list, you said Jack and Jill was Adam Sandler's best movie, so you're off to an atrocious start.
Well, it is his best movie, but I'll try and make it up.
So what's the fifth best Memorial Day cookout food?
All right, at number five, and I'll try and speak slowly for Mark here. For number five, I have watermelon. When you think of summer, when you think of summer food, you think of watermelon. It's refreshing. It's sweet, and it's a healthy option.
I'm okay with it.
Those who are into that kind of thing.
I love watermelon.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we're one for one. At number four, I have corn on the cob. Now, it has to be on the cob, Donnie, because corn by itself, I'm not a fan of. It has to be on the cob. It's fun. It's like...
Eat it like a typewriter, baby.
Exactly. You put those little
Are you putting
in the
actual cob like on a stick of butter and rolling it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, with some salt, too?
We used to get in trouble for that. We were told, that's not... You're ruining the entire stick of butter by doing that.
Who told you that?
My mom.
Well,
she
was
not
was
a fan of
that.
She was probably baked when she said that, like Le'Veon Bell before a playoff game. All right, so watermelon, corn on the cob, three.
Number three, I have potato salad. And no
controversial choice.
No bacon in the potato salad. Bacon shouldn't be...
I don't think it usually has bacon in it.
I know people that put bacon in their potato salad, and then I don't eat it. So potato salad
makes the list, and we're not going to see pasta salad make the cut here, Donnie, or a macaroni salad not going to make the cut.
Or mac and cheese you could even throw out.
So potato, I can't co-sign
now,
that.
Now I'm kind of concerned. I mean, there are a lot of good meats out there, and you only got two spots left.
What are two
left.
And one here?
All right, number two, I have the famous hot dog. Now, I'm not one of those guys. You know, some people, they care about what the toppings are, and they're pro-ketchup, pro-mustard. I'm not like that. Whatever you want to put on your hot dog, I'm fine with, because a hot dog is an American classic, Donnie, and it's number two for Memorial Day Foods.
Okay, what's one?
Number one, I have barbecue chicken. I would have went really anything barbecue here, but you guys said I couldn't.
You could have made the whole list out of barbecue foods. If you love barbecue so much, you could have put pulled pork in a spot. You could have
put. But then it's not as fun.
Barbecue baked beans. But you could have done any of those things. Barbecue, it's only one barbecue item.
Barbecue chicken. By the way, just some honorable mentions. I did write down baked beans. I did write down coleslaw and apple pie. Almost beat out watermelon.
Corn on the cob beat out apple pie?
Yeah, I didn't even think of that as you were going through not having a classic dessert
And a hot dog makes the list, and a hamburger didn't even get a friggin' honorable mention.
You know, I'm not a hamburger guy. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a big hamburger guy. I'll go hot dog, barbecue
chicken. You're calling
chicken.
Hot dogs an all-American classic
yes.
in one breath, and now you're saying hamburgers are not.
I'm not saying it's not an American classic. I'm saying it's not an intern dom classic.
Okay, fair enough. You guys have left me very little time here to give you my top five Memorial Day weekend drinks. Number five on my list, the Arnold Palmer. You're a DD, or even if you just want something to drink while you're eating that isn't going to help you with your buzz, Arnold Palmer 5. My ratio is 75% iced tea, 25% lemonade.
Now, do you make them yourself?
I'm not talking about the Arizona iced tea giant can. No, that's five. Number four on my list is just straight bourbon. I'm going to be at a party at some point over the weekend. We're winding down. Get me a nice glass and just a block of ice, and I just want to drink bourbon whiskey straight. That's four. Number three, this is a new one for me. Have you had ranch water before?
I've heard of that.
Big what? Fan. Ranch water. What? How old are you?
Is it like a...
Dom, how old are you?
19.
19. Okay. Get back to me in 2 years, buddy. Ranch water.
What's all in that?
It's like a tequila.
Okay.
It's like a tequila spin on a White Claw. It's like a
sparkling water with tequila.
Yes.
Okay.
Number two on my list: domestic light beer. I don't care what kind.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.